listeners, you are listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com or iTunes or Stitcher if you're an Android user. And we are glad to have you here. As always, I am your host, Zach Andra. And with me, as always, is the immutable, inedible Steve Gandra.
So you just added another one. I'm just now trying to get used to the inevitable and immutable, but now it's inedible.
You're inedible,
yeah.
Unless you're in a lion's cage,
yeah.
And then no, I guess yeah. You'd be edible.
No, not that.
What do you think you taste like, Steve?
I would not know. I've never tasted myself.
I but feel like you taste...
You will stop at nothing to get to get someone who's driving their car flicking radio stations.
I feel
attention.
Like you would taste somewhere between chocolate and enchiladas.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take the enchiladas.
Chilaquiles, if you will.
Okay. All right.
Have you ever had chilaquiles?
Yes, I have.
Quite delicious.
Yeah.
I'm yet to have some that the chips aren't soggy.
Yeah. That's the idea. They need to be soggy.
We have a
phenomenal guest.
We do have a phenomenal guest, but I wanted to highlight for everybody listening that we have a workshop coming up. We have just finished the one in May, and we have another one coming up. When is that? October? I'm going to look it up.
We actually have one coming up July 20th and 21st.
Oh, July. Okay.
Yep.
20th and 20th. Is that in Seattle, Washington,
or Bellevue? In Bellevue.
Something?
In Bellevue.
So if you tell the peeps a little bit about what they're going to get out of one of those workshops. Our guest was actually just in one.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, our guest today is a graduate of the Achieving Excellent Cultures workshop and just did a wonderful job contributing much information to all the leaders who participated. But the main thing you're going to learn in an Achieving Excellent Cultures workshop is how important culture is to everything in your business that you never realized until you really started looking at it.
Yeah.
How to measure it, how to address it, and how to change it. And most importantly, how to lead the charge as a leader and make the culture changes that you want to make that build the kind of culture that gets you the best results.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in a really fun way with lots of other leaders. The feedback that we get from our participants in workshops continuously is that they love the conversations and the interactions that they have with other leaders. So we're constantly working on trimming down the talking at and cranking up the talking with.
And that was those, we've gotten good feedback from people, and those are our first year with our new process and new workshop and essentially a year of beta testing that. And we still got good results, even though we're looking to make some changes.
Well,
and
what we did was we took everything that we've learned over the last 37 years about building and changing cultures and crunched it all down into 2 days and found out that it was too much. So now it seems to be really hitting the sweet spot.
So we're excited. If you're ready to engage that kind of thing and bring some transformation, first of all, to your life, secondly, to your culture, your business culture, your family culture, either way, but specifically business culture,
just to be all that you can be as a leader.
Yeah.
And do it in a way that, as is the motto of this show, helps the good guys win.
Yeah. So you can sign up for that at excellentcultures.com. You'll see a rotator at the very top of the page, and you can hit that rotator and sign right up.
For sure. Speaking of good guys, we have a good gal today. When I first met Danielle Bird, Danielle comes to us from Umpqua Bank. She's the EVP of Washington Commercial Bank.
What's an EVP? Should we
EVP
just ask her?
Is an executive vice president.
Oh, okay.
Executive vice president of Washington Commercial Bank. She's regional executive. So kind of if you're in the Washington area and you're involved with Umpqua Bank, then you are working with some of Danielle's team on the business side. She's an amazing leader. Does some wonderful things. We'll get you to tell you about herself in a second, but she does some wonderful things in the community. One of the few leaders of her age, and I don't know how old she is, but she's young.
Yeah.
She's a recipient of the everybody's young. Come on. She's a recipient of the Top 40 Under 40 Award for the Business Journal. So
awesome.
But more than any leader I've ever met, I mean, she really gets people and gets people and gets leadership and gets high performance culture in a way that it's so automatic and so smooth, and she's so unconscious about it.
That's good.
It's really neat. So I wanted to have her on the show. We've waited for quite a while, but we finally got on her calendar.
Here we go.
Danielle,
clap
this
track.
Is Danielle Bird. Say hello to our audience. Tell us about who you are and the great work that you do.
We're glad to have you.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation to be here. And boy, that's a lot to live up to, Stephen Zach.
Well, I didn't even read it. I didn't even read a third read of
it.
Bio.
He didn't even read it. That was just off the top of his head.
That's just what I think about Danielle.
Well, thank you so much. It's absolutely a privilege to be here and be with two greats. When you talk about excellent cultures, certainly, Steve, being a part of your seminar that you're featuring in July, I would highly recommend to any of your listeners. It was an incredible experience for not only myself, but all of our associates who had the pleasure to be a part of that. And certainly we had many, many takeaways. You can always, always learn something to enhance your culture or to be a better leader or a better individual. And there were too many nuggets to count in terms of the types of value that we brought back. So
well,
thank you for that invitation.
If you call an Umpqua bank, the message you get is greatest bank in the world, right, Danielle?
Yes, thank you for calling the world's greatest bank.
It's kind of like a community party when you go in there, too.
It's the world's greatest bank. And in my opinion, this is one of the great leaders from the world's greatest bank.
Perfect.
So tell us more about the work you do and about what makes Umpqua the world's greatest bank.
I'd be happy to. You know, Umpqua Bank is really and truly a very, very special place to work and to serve our communities. And I have to say that of all of the positions I've held in many different industries over the last 23 years, this is home. And I've often said, if I wasn't the CEO of a company, this would be the place I should have always worked.
Awesome.
And the culture and the executives that I should have always worked with. The passion for culture, the passion for employee engagement, the passion for truly and honestly serving our communities in very, very meaningful ways, and creating a workplace where associates feel valued, where they're empowered, and where they have fun is really the heartbeat of our company. And it's infused in everything we do. You know, we often say it's not the thing that we say at the podium. It's not the mission statement on the wall. It's not how we answer the phone. But it's each and every interaction with each and every person, each and every day, that makes the difference. And with that, you have to have heart, and you have to have passion for what you do.
And you can't fake it.
You can't fake it. You absolutely can't.
I'm still unsure of how anybody could have passion for banking.
Danielle can tell you.
That is a great question. You know, we make dreams come true.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If you think about banking, whether it's buying your first car or your first home or funding the business that you've always dreamed of starting or growing that business overseas or going public or buying that first home. If you think about every piece of your financial life, retirement, those are dreams that each and every one of us have, and we have the opportunity and the privilege to be able to be a part of making those dreams come true.
That's pretty awesome.
And there is nothing greater than to be there when somebody signs their loan documents and realize that they can go out and make a dream a reality.
Now, I thought you were going to say that banking is really kind of boring, but at Umpqua Bank, we love people so much that we're very passionate about it. And you did one about 10 times better because you now are making our listeners passionate about banking.
Oh, yeah, I felt like I had a banking hug.
Yeah, banking hug.
Seriously.
Well, I'll tell you, the thing for your listeners is to find those bankers that really see that privilege and see their opportunity to help make those dreams happen. Because, you know, in any business, you have those that are passionate about what they do every day. And it's the difference between good and great, right? That difference between the silver medal and the gold medal in the Olympics. It's that heart that you bring. And so I would really encourage anybody listening, if you don't have a banker who truly, truly is passionate about what they're doing for you, go find somebody that is. It's too important. Our financial worlds and our financial lives have never been more important to pay attention to than they are post-financial crisis. And I think most businesses have seen the effects very, very directly, and most individuals felt that over this last 5 years, that importance to really have that honest, earnest communication with our bankers, that honest and earnest relationship, that financial partners looking out for us so that we can be experts in whatever our chosen field is. Let your banker be the expert in what they do best.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, it's huge. I mean, because in today's fast-paced society, a banker is becoming an app on our phone instead of a relationship. And while apps on our phone helps us get things done faster and better and easier and quicker, there's nothing like having a relationship with someone who shares passion for serving your business or serving your family. You said it all there, Daniel. You said it all.
Well, you know, the apps and the technology are fantastic ways to transact daily business. But when you're talking about planning your financial future or planning the trajectory of your company or taking a look at how you plan for your family or your child's college, there are so many variables. Our worlds today are so much more complex than they've ever been before. And so while all of the technology allows us to be much more efficient once all of the strategy has been created, the reality is having somebody who has that expertise, who truly cares, not just about selling a loan or buying a deposit from you, but somebody who really wants to get to know what's important to you, where you're headed. They want to know you as an individual, what you're passionate about, what perfection looks like to you in your financial life, and then gives you the tools and the strategies to help you get there. And that's really where the magic begins.
That's beautiful.
I think for us at Umpqua, it's infused in everything we do. It starts in how we hire people. You know, you can't create that out of nothing. And so I often say to new prospective employees here, being amazing at what you do technically is just the first rung on the ladder. It just gets you a conversation here.
That's good. That's really good.
Once you're here, then we start talking about, are you genuine? Do you have a sincere message to deliver to clients? You know, are you resilient? Do you connect well to the community? Are you passionate about what you do every day? Do you genuinely care? Because as you said at the beginning of the show, people know if it's sincere or not.
Right.
And, you know, we can't do what we do every day without each and every associate here. And we have nearly 4,500 associates here today. And every single one of them has to come to work each day with that sincere joy for what they do,
yep,
to help one another as employees, to really, really sincerely connect with our customers and have fun along the journey. I always say we can do it like everybody else, or we can have fun and enjoy the journey.
Right.
And we really try to do that here at Umpqua.
That's what I'm saying. When you go into an Umpqua bank, it's kind of like a party. You don't even realize that you're in a bank. You feel like you're in your local pub or coffee shop.
Well, that's the goal.
Yeah.
About 20 years ago, we changed our whole strategy as a company, and we wanted to be a different kind of bank, and one that still offers the sophisticated products and the expertise of a large bank, but we wanted to deliver it with personal service, community engagement. We wanted to give an innovative experience of a great retailer. Think about going into a Starbucks. You never know what you're going to expect, whether it's great music or a sample or, you know, you name it, a new app now that you can go in and pre-order your coffee. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And so we're constantly trying to innovate our retail experience, and we're really focusing today on how do we carry that innovative experience into the commercial side of our company. So whether that might be electronic doc signing, or we have a new program called E3, which has really innovated our commercial loan process and streamlined that, and we can get loans qualified now for 48 hours or less. So there's all sorts of innovation that we're constantly looking at as a company to try to deliver that extraordinary experience and have a lot of fun while we're at it.
Huge. We got to go into our first break, but that was about Umpqua Bank right there, guys. So
Umpqua.
Check them out. Umpqua, sorry. You know, I'm whatever. I should know that by now.
Umpqua.
There you go. We'll be right back. Either way, on that note, the immutable wouldn't be quiet there, so we got to stop. Go to a break, and you're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. We'll be right back.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list, done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull, and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better, that politics crush people, innovation, and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure, you don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
We're back, everybody, and this is Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. We've got a special guest today, Danielle Bird. Steve, how do I say umqua again?
Umqua.
Umqua. Is it umqua, Danielle?
That is correct. It is umqua.
And it stands, what does it stand for again?
Raging Waters.
Raging Waters. Yeah. I'm just going to call it Raging Waters.
Yeah, Raging Waters Bank. Just call it the greatest bank on earth.
The greatest bank
the
on
greatest
earth.
Greatest bank in the world. So, Danielle, before the break, you were telling us about nearly 4,500 people. You guys are growing like crazy. Recent acquisition almost doubled your number of people. How do you keep the great culture going when you're growing as fast as you're growing with as many people as you're adding, and especially adding people through mergers and acquisitions, not just hiring them when they come in the door and you get to pick who you want?
Well, that is a great question, and I'll tell you, we are absolutely committed that no matter what size we are, that our culture will remain the heart and soul and heartbeat of our company. And that really starts with, first of all, setting the intention at the CEO level of our company. Ray Davis has such a passion for our culture. He is the visionary that created what Umqua is today, and he has personally selected a leadership team that shares in that passion with their whole hearts. And so it really starts from the top, and it infuses all through our culture from there and our company. And when we welcome the Sterling Financial team into our company, which, to your point, Steve, has doubled our size, we're now 4,500 employees across 5 states. We have nearly 400 locations. And so while it seems daunting when you think about it from size and scope, the great news is when we go out and look at acquisition opportunities, we're not only looking at the financial ramifications of that acquisition, but we're also really, truly evaluating the culture of that organization. And we think through that just as strongly as we would any of the financial metrics to ensure that as we welcome that bank into our organization, that that bank culture is something that is complementary and a culture that we can continue to build and grow. Because as you know, a culture isn't a static thing. It is a living, breathing thing, and it's made up of 4,500 associates now across our bank, and each one of those associates are ambassadors of that culture. Their passion is infused in that culture. We evolve and change our programs. We evolve and change how we deliver that extraordinary customer experience because it's informed by every one of our employees. And so then it just becomes ensuring that each and every leader at our company can speak to the culture and each and every associate really understands and has an experience and an opportunity to see what the empowerment looks like, to celebrate the journey each and every day. We just had our annual celebration on Saturday at the Bellevue Hyatt, and we had over 500 of our associates across the state of Washington in that room. And normally, bank celebrations are about sales results.
Sure.
And our bank celebration is about culture. We have our Connect Award winner of the year, and that is somebody who is given 40 hours of paid time to volunteer, as every associate here at Umqua is. but it's that person who took that opportunity and really took it to the next level and made a huge difference in our communities. And their peers nominate them. We have our President's Award, and again, that's somebody who's gone over and above at exemplifying our culture and going over and above for their fellow associates and making tremendous change and difference at our company. And it is like the Academy Awards. It is red carpets and gold statues and black tie and nominees and the big gold envelope, and there's a lot of tears
after
and a
parties
lot of joy.
After parties?
Oh, now. We may never tell.
We may never tell. What stays at Umpqua?
Pardon me?
What happens at Umpqua stays at Umpqua.
No, that's Las Vegas.
Oh, that was Vegas.
That's Las Vegas.
No, I'll tell you, it is such a great gift to see the associates elevate one another, celebrate those accomplishments, and certainly there are, you know, sales results that are celebrated as well, but I would tell you 90% of what was celebrated on Saturday were extraordinary leadership, extraordinary partnership, extraordinary teamwork, and extraordinary culture. And I would tell you that when we talk about preserving and growing our culture, it is the dedication to celebrating it along the journey. It's sharing it, it's emulating it, it's continuing to keep that discipline to hire people who share that passion, and then continuing the journey together.
So, Danielle, if you could capsulize it into something, short and tight, what would you say your vision is for an ideal culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement? What's your vision for it?
My vision for an ideal culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement would be, honestly, Umpqua Bank.
I thought you were going to say that. I was hoping you would say that.
Really and truly, this is a place where associates come and they feel cared about. I had an employee say to me through the transition last year, my role changed for about a year. And I was just honored to be, I mean, what bank? Think about this. They took an executive out of Washington State and said, by the way, now that we're acquiring another bank, we're going to create a brand new executive level job that reports to the president, and your whole focus is the client experience and taking care of employees. Now, I'm non-revenue generating, and I'm highly paid. Now, what publicly traded company would do that if culture wasn't the
number one goal,
right?
Yeah.
But as I was making that transition, I had one of my senior officers here come to me, and he was while excited about the new opportunity, he was sad that I was moving into another role for that period of time. And I asked him, why are you so concerned? And he said, Danielle, you don't get it. What you have created here in Washington for us was magic. And I have been in banking for over 40 years, and I have never experienced what I experience here. And I'm just concerned that it's not going to be the same. And my answer to him was, look, I didn't create what you felt here. Each and every one of you did. I just shone the light on your greatness. And now it's your opportunity as a leader to carry that culture forward to each and every new associate that's joined our company and our team and our family, because each and every one of us created the magic that was here in Washington, and it's only going to get better from here. And it has. And it's been such a privilege to be along that journey with each and every employee here. And I have been privileged now that we've gone through the major part of the integration to be welcomed back to run commercial banking here in Washington. And it has just been such a gift to see how each and every associate has taken that culture, made it their own, and are working along the journey to surprise and delight our clients, to really help one another through the journey, and to really celebrate it at the end of the day.
Sounds like you just had a big celebration.
We did. Absolutely.
So you've been around businesses for years. You've run a number of them yourself as a senior executive. And obviously you're talking to business clients all the time as a banker and as a leader of bankers. Where have you seen this value system start to deteriorate in organizations? What should businesses watch out for as the trouble signs of, we're losing our great culture? What advice would you have for folks?
That's a great question. I would say it starts with listening to your associates. I think as leaders, oftentimes we believe we know best. We know where the company is headed. We know where we want to take it. We know where the problems and the challenges are. And I think as we get more mature in our companies, we stop asking questions and we stop really, really listening. And our associates always know. They always know what's great about our company, and they always, always know when something isn't working well. But if you don't create a culture and a world where they feel like they can be absolutely candid or they can absolutely take a risk, then when they stop talking, that's when your culture dies. And when we become a company, when anybody becomes a company where sales and growth become more important than having those honest, earnest conversations with your employees, your culture will die.
And it's so easy to slip into that when you're moving and shaking and growing and solving problems and everything so quickly.
It absolutely is. And I can speak for our company. We're publicly traded. And so you have the added pressure of the analysts who are asking for earnings forecasts. And so you have all of that growth pressure. And believe me, while we still operate absolutely as a small community bank, at the customer level, being a $23 billion publicly traded company, we have a lot of pressure
sure.
to grow.
Sure.
And so as we take that journey each and every day as executives here at the company, we can never, ever lose sight that it starts one-on-one, person to person, one heart at a time, one conversation at a time. I just had somebody in the last couple of weeks walk by my desk and looked troubled, and I said, "Hey, what's going on?" And the response was, "I know you're really busy. It's not that important." And I stopped her and I said, "There is nothing more important to me than what you have to say right this minute. Please come in and let's talk." And she shared with me what was wrong, and we got a chance to solve it. And as a matter of fact, some of the challenges that she was facing were challenges that many of our associates at her level were, and nobody had said anything. And now we have an opportunity to solve for all of those things that were really frustrating. But what I hope even more so than just tactical solutions to challenges, what I hope she knows more so today than she did 2 weeks ago is that she matters.
Yeah.
She matters to me, and she matters to this company. And if you are upset, there's no amount of sales calls I have or loans that need to be closed that take the place of ensuring that she's heard in a moment when she needed it.
Yeah. There's something about our American culture that busyness is an excuse, right? Like, and to say to people, "I'm not that busy." Yeah. At least not when you are the most valuable thing in this moment. So it's beautiful.
Yeah. So, Danielle, my question is, I know you, and I know that's who you are. And that's why we asked you to be on the show, because that's who you are. And I've been in your office before, and I've seen you dealing with your employees before, and I've observed, and I've watched, and I've talked to your colleagues. And it is, it is absolutely who you are. You are a smart, very caring, put people first individual. That's your style of leadership, and you're very good at it. Now, so my question is, though, when you've got 4,500 or so, or nearly 4,500 associates, and who knows how many leaders that lead those 4,500, how do you keep that alive with everybody?
That's the question we're going to have to answer. She's going to have to answer after the break.
After the break.
After the break. So perfect lead, Steve. Well done. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. And clearly, you want to come back for that answer from our guest, Danielle Berg. We'll be right back.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better. That politics crush people, innovation and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure, you don't need another consultant. Excellent Cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
We're back with Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 and ExcellentCultures.com. We're talking with Danielle Bird, one of the EVPs from the commercial division of Umpqua Bank in Washington, a large commercial and consumer bank, nearly 4,500 employees, growing like crazy. And just before the break, asked Danielle a question with respect to how do you keep alive that care and that compassion and that, wait a minute, I'm busy, but you're more important type of attitude with as many leaders as you have in a publicly traded organization, multi-billion dollar organization with nearly 4,500 employees?
Well, it's a great question. And I'll tell you, I wish I could tell you that we do it 100% right all the time, but it's a journey. It's not a destination. And so it starts with, again, leadership at the top. It starts with our executive team, our CEO, our presidents, being people who believe truly and emulate that culture. And I'll tell you, we've had a lot of conversation as an organization about our culture and how we sustain it. And it starts with believing it. It starts with emulating it. And then it continues and follows through with listening. And so we have lots of opportunities. We have associate surveys. We have focus groups. We have all sorts of feedback mechanisms. We have opportunities and awards programs where associates can recognize one another. We have a daily motivational moment that 4,500 associates across five states participate in one every day that just reinforces an opportunity for 10 to 15 minutes a day for every employee to put their to-do list aside, to come together, to have a little bit of fun, to be inspired, to laugh, to connect with one another for 10, 15 minutes again with something that has nothing to do with what they have to do on their daily to-do list or their job. And it can be the local folks here in my office will come together. They rotate the responsibility of who facilitates. And it can be a trivia game. It can be an inspirational story that's read. It can be a minute-to-win-it game. But the purpose of it is we shed our titles and we shed our individual groups and responsibilities and we come together as a team and family and we have fun. And so between having executives that really believe and emulate in every single interaction what our culture's about, whether it's asking our associates directly or giving them opportunities to recognize one another and support one another, programs like Connect, where every single associate across our company gets 40 hours of paid time to volunteer in our community. We gave 53,000 hours of volunteer time last year to, again, having fun with our associates, connecting on a daily basis. There's not one easy answer to that, but when you add it all up, the sum is far greater than the collective parts. And I think at the end of the day, when you really dial back, you can talk about 4,500 associates, but each and every one of those associates, every single person I believe in our world, has a deep desire to feel heard, to feel cared about, and to be worthwhile. And if we can show each and every one of our associates that they matter, that they're empowered, that their voice is heard here at the company, and have a little bit of fun together, we can emulate in many ways that culture of fun and that innovation and excitement about who we're going to be as a company, then that culture, again, will grow and change as we grow as an organization. It's a living, breathing thing, but it's that constant focus on ensuring that we're paying attention to it, I think, is going to be the key going forward.
Yeah, for sure. So what I heard was that big key factors are really caring and really listening and making those top priorities even above and beyond the to-do list, and then reinforcing it with every single process or system that you can think of that re-engages that care factor and that really listen factor. And we're not just talking about, I mean, folks, I just want you to realize this is a publicly traded, you know, Wall Street traded business. We're not talking about warm and fuzzy kumbaya moments that do not produce revenue and meet quarterly reports. If you're listening on the early part of the show, if you haven't, please make sure you get the podcast at excellentcultures.com/podcast, because Danielle was talking about how, you know, they have pressures just like any other business or any other publicly traded company, but somehow by the intention of leaders, that truly caring and truly listening seem to be right at the top of the priority list. And Danielle just gave us a huge number of systems and processes that they utilize to keep it alive and keep it going on a regular basis. So, Danielle, this Gallup poll that is starting to be on the front page of all of our business publications about employee engagement, and anyone who's looked at it knows that for the last 2 years, American workers have rated themselves at 70%+. It's actually been for the last 4 years almost. It happens every 2 years in October. 70%+ disengaged workers in our country. And this year, the poll went far enough to even acknowledge that 18% of those who took the confidential poll said they hated their jobs. Mm. And the most common reason that they hated their job was they hated their boss. So Jim Clifton, the CEO of Gallup, in his cover memo for the poll when it was released, kind of dubbed this new regime of leaders the managers from hell, the bosses that everybody hates. It sounds like that's kind of just the opposite of what you have at Umpqua. So my question is, you know, what connection have you seen between, you know, your culture of corporate ethics and values and your employee engagement?
Well, it is 100% the connection. When you think about the fact that you spend 70 to 80% of your life at work, having an organization that you feel proud to go every day, and having a boss that you truly feel respects you and listens to you and gives you a voice, is the direct correlation to employee engagement. I don't know about you, Steve, but I wouldn't want to come to work if I didn't feel as though I was valued or
nobody
have
would.
A voice.
But they do.
Right?
They do. According to the poll, they do, and they grin and bear it.
Mm-hmm. And you think about extraordinary results, and extraordinary culture yields extraordinary results. And I would say Umpqua Bank is a great example of that. You know, we changed our strategy, if you will, to really focus on culture back in 1994. That was over 20 years ago. And we grew from $140 million in assets to $23 billion today.
Wow.
And I would say our culture today is stronger than it was in 1994, and it continues to be stronger. And that's really corroborated not just by our financial results and growth, but we were just recently named for a second year in a row the highest in customer satisfaction by J.D. Powers and Associates. We have been 8 years running on Fortune Magazine's Best Companies to Work For, and that is an associate survey that's done. So our associates are saying that we're a best place to work for. And many of those years, we were the only financial institution on that list. Forbes has named us one of the best banks in America for 3 years running, and that's measuring financial strength.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just recently now named as the best U.S. global bank for 2015 by Far West, by Global Finance Magazine. And so not only has the culture created an environment where I can tell you as an executive, I love to be here, but our associates are saying they love to be here. Our customers through J.D. Powers are telling us that we are the best bank in customer satisfaction, and we still have financially strong measurements. And so I ask you, how can we differentiate ourselves when we're really a commodity product, right? We rent money. That's what we do as an organization. But how we've done it and what I would submit is we have a culture that has created a place where there is that employee engagement because we're known to be an ethical company, because we truly care. And we are vigilant when we talk about succession planning at this company. We're vigilant when we talk about promotions to really not only look at sales results of those leaders or managers, but we ask ourselves all the time, do they get the culture? Do they understand how to lead it? Do they understand how to communicate it? And then we hold our leaders accountable to doing that. And I share with every one of our employees that every single one of us are leaders. Every single one of us are ambassadors of this culture. And if you feel like we're not doing something that's in alignment with our culture, raise the red flag. We just changed our name tags, and on the back of them, there is a magnet, and it says, I am a relentless better maker. And 4,500 employees wear this name tag every day, and we hold ourselves accountable. And if somebody sees something wrong, then they raise it, and we reward our associates for raising issues that they feel are counter to our culture. And we reward it, we elevate it, we talk about it, and we solve it together.
Amazing. We got to go into our last break. Today's show's flying through. And you're listening to Biz Culture Matters, everybody, on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. We'll be right back.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list, done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull, and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better. That politics crush people, innovation, and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure? You don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people. Using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
We're back, everybody. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. And we've been talking with Daniel Bird about the culture of Umpqua Bank. And the beauty of it. It's not, let me just throw down that I don't know another bank that's logged over 50,000 hours in volunteerism in their collaborative neighborhoods. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Well, or
that was just in 2014.
Yeah, that was just in 1 year. Yeah. I mean, I'm on your website right now, and so far in 2015, there's over 10,000.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Well, I want to ask a question, Danielle. Before the break, you were talking about your new name tags, the raise the red flag. In most organizations, there's a lot of lip service paid to if something isn't like it's supposed to be, or if the customers aren't being served the way they're supposed to be, then raise the red flag. Let's talk about it. But what I see is different with Umpqua and the culture that you guys have built. It's not the politically correct, oh, I need to hold my opinion back because there will be some kind of adverse consequences if, in fact, I say something that is not, you know, appropriately received by whoever the boss is. Mm-hmm. So how does one raise the red flag, and how do you as a leader keep those red flags coming up by building a mindset that raising the red flag and telling us where we're off base is a good thing? It's not something that we look down on.
That's a great question. And what I would say is it's what you do when somebody is brave enough to step out. And as we've brought our organization together, understandably, there's been initially some reticence to trust that process. We have new associates, we have new leaders, and they're still trying to navigate credibility and trying to figure out how do I work in this new world. And so one of the things that I've really focused on as an executive here is to take those opportunities when somebody is brave to step out and elevate that and share it and communicate it with all of their peers and show that, boy, this associate was brave enough to call out some opportunities for us to get better, and here's how we're going to meet them to solve those issues. And one of the first things I did in my director of client relations role last year when we first brought the company together, I sat down with our president of commercial banking, Cord O'Haver, and we talked about this very issue, that concern that associates would not speak up. And we talked about how do we solve for that now? Because as we're bringing the organization together, we are making thousands of decisions very quickly. And we need to have an open line of communication that's not filtered through five layers of management. So what we did immediately was we started an anonymous Q&A line that was an electronic link that any associate amongst the entire commercial bank, which is, you know, probably 1,200 of our employees across five states, if they had a question or were upset about something or concerned about something, they could submit in a question, and I would guarantee them in a week they would have an answer. And we had every Thursday morning at 8:30, we set up a conference call, and if an associate's question had to do with HR, then the EVP of Human Resources was on the phone answering that question verbally over the phone. It was recorded. There was a newsletter published. We did it every single week for an entire year post-merger. And what we found, initially, probably for the first two calls, we got no questions because people were very concerned that it truly was anonymous. And when the word got out that it truly was anonymous and people began to hear their questions being answered, not by their first line leader, but by the EVP in Portland or wherever in the bank was answering their question directly. I might be a loan assistant in Boise, Idaho, who asked a question for the head of our technology, and she would hear Sunny Sonnenstein answering that question the next Thursday. She would hear it in the recording, and she would have it published in the newspaper. And they realize over time that associates were being heard, their questions were being taken seriously, there were solutions that were being provided, and in the height of it, I think our newsletter was about 20 pages long, and we would have anywhere from 10 to 15 questions that were coming in every single week from associates across the company. And I'll tell you, there was nothing that communicated more strongly to every associate in those business lines than when they heard the president of the bank answering their question in a week, or the head of IT solving their challenge and fixing it and removing that obstacle. You know, we can tell our associates that they can speak their mind and that we want them to be better makers, but the responsibility we have as executives is to create communication channels that make it easy for them, whether it's anonymous or not. And then we need to celebrate every associate who raises a question, and we need to be responsive when they do and solve for their challenge. And if we can't solve for it, we need to tell them why we can't and what we're going to do about it.
Even if it's bad news?
Even if it's bad news, that transparency is so important. The reality is we all deserve an answer to a question, and that's one of the things that Ray Davis has done so well at this company in setting the tone for. You can go into any Umpqua Bank retail location, and there is a phone. And if you pick up that phone and dial 8, you will buzz right into Ray Davis's office, and he will answer the phone if he's there. He infuses that throughout our whole company, and he will say at our town halls, you deserve an answer to every question, and you may not like the answer, but you deserve an answer. every single one of our employees here has an equal expectation to have every question answered. Whether it's a customer, a community member, or an associate, we have an obligation, and really it's a privilege and an honor to be asked the question, because no one would ask a question if they didn't really care about the answer, right?
For sure. For sure. So when the bad news questions happen, and let's say someone asks a question that, gosh, we wish they wouldn't have asked that question, but we've made this commitment and we're honest and we're transparent and we're going to answer it, and we're going to answer it publicly on the call, and then we're going to publish it in the newsletter. How do you typically deal with the bad news questions, and how do leaders within the Umpqua culture come to deal with the bad news questions that everyone wished never would have been asked in the first place?
Well, honestly, I don't think that there is a such thing as a bad news question. I think that there are hard decisions that we as an organization need to make, like any organization. And I think being honest and earnest and direct about the why behind the questions is really what associates are looking for. Especially as an organization, if we're going through unprecedented change, there are going to be, for instance, locations that might be consolidated. There might be positions that are eliminated. But that doesn't mean that each and every employee isn't equally as important to us. But there are business decisions that need to be made. And I think the more quickly that we can ask and answer those really difficult questions and remove the uncertainty about why things are happening, what decisions are being made, what's driving those decisions, then employees can anticipate what's coming, and we can then solve for the anxieties or the challenges or the solutions that need to be employed at that point. But I don't think, in my experience, there's never been a question that's been posed that I didn't want to answer. I welcome those questions. If you think about the hurdles that we have on a day-to-day basis, if you can remove uncertainty and if you can remove the questions from associates' minds, then you clear the path for them to be successful or at least feel peaceful and joyful coming to work every day. And so if it's the hard questions, bring them on. There's always a great answer as to why something is taking place. That's one of the reasons why I feel so privileged to be part of this executive team. This executive team is making decisions from their heart, and they are thinking through employee impact. They're thinking through ethics. They're thinking through integrity in every single decision. So there's not a question that can be asked of us that I don't feel proud to answer. It may be a tough decision that had to be made, and those answers are tough to give, but they're honest and they're earnest. And once it's out there, then we can solve for whatever the anxiety is that an associate may be feeling.
Straight out, candid honesty.
Absolutely.
I just have one question. How was the engagement on employee readership of a 20-page newsletter?
Well, that's a great question. You know, many of them heard the answers on the live call.
Nice.
Many of them will download the podcast at the end and listen to that.
Oh, that's helpful to know.
Others, they have the newsletter. So yeah. One of the things that was interesting, I wasn't aware of how many were waiting for the link to the recorded version until one day my assistant was out sick, and I figured it wouldn't be any big deal to wait until Friday to send it out. And right. My inbox was flooded with about 200 emails with people asking for that recording.
See,
so I know that there was a very high level of engagement.
Well, that's a good question, because I was like, man, I couldn't wade through a 20-page newsletter. But knowing that there's a recording on it, that's absolutely, that helps.
Well, and knowing that many people want to hear it is huge.
Yeah. I mean, you should forget the recording or not put the recording more often. It'll tell you and get your engagement every time someone's like, where's the recording?
Yeah. better engagement indicator than the engagement.
Yeah.
Danielle, you've been awesome. We're out of time. We've got to have you back on the show. You have so much heart and so much passion and compassion, and it just radiates through the airwaves. Yeah. I know our listeners are hearing it. Thank you so much for being on the show. You're awesome.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation. It was really an honor and a privilege to be here with you and with your listeners today. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. All right, everybody. That is the end of the show. You've been listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and ExcellentCultures.com, as well as iTunes and Stitcher. Please subscribe to the podcast, listen to the radio show, engage us on Twitter and Facebook, and we would love to have a conversation with you. Talk to you soon.